Like to turn in your Bible to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. And in our study of Jeremiah, God has given God's word, and he's given us the accounting of the people in Jerusalem and Judah that end up going into the Babylonian captivity. And he gives us a great amount of information of the failure on the part of Israel and the success on the part of Babylon. Now, in the light of that, we share together that they had plenty of time, Israel, Jerusalem did, to fix things. They just didn't fix them. And they kept going downhill and downhill. And thus Jeremiah was assigned, along with others, he was assigned to bring God's message to he was the messenger to bring God's message to Jerusalem. And he was equipped for that, even though he didn't think he was, but it had nothing to do with Jeremiah. It had to do with God. Jeremiah was open for God to equip him. And therefore, he who was unequipped became fully equipped, because he was open for God to equip him. Did that come out all right? So he was open to that. So then what was impossible becomes very easy. Now, but then you have to go through the process. So in our little exercise, we share together that God, if you can look to God with all your heart and realize God's wonderful presence, which we're in, then you have to understand God wants to educate you and to educate you, and you have to be exercised to be educated. You have to go through the exercise and the experience to be educated. It isn't cheap. It isn't a cheap education. It's a very costly one. It cost God his son to make it possible for you to have that education. Apart from the death of Christ on the cross, there is no education. We're just under the wrath of God. So now, here's Jeremiah, and he is being educated. And and that's what I'm trying to, if you can grab that, then we'll try to go with that. God wants to educate, to encourage by education, to enlighten so that we can be experiencing. And experiencing, we get educated. And an educator, we get encouraged. Or, to say it another way, it's when we go through things and we trust God, hope, H-O-P-E. And when we're trusting God in hope, trusting him, and we do trust him, then we go through the next 5 minutes of time, the next little bit of the day. And if we can do that, trusting God, then we're it right in the place to continue going to the next 5 minutes and the next part of the day and the next day and the next day and the next day, because we're being educated and encouraged to do so. Jeremiah is doing that. And so Jeremiah is tackling an unbelieving nation, the people, and they don't want to believe, and they're out to kill him. They want to get rid of him. And they want to kill him. They're going to put him in prison a couple of times or so. But in the process, they don't do that, no more than they think of Sunday. They'd like to kill Lazarus, but you can't kill Lazarus unless God says so. So, now, here's Jeremiah chapter 15. We share together that Jeremiah was reminded of the absolute certainty, the inevitable judgment. There was no way out or around it. And we share together in the process in chapter 15. Picking up now, remember, Jeremiah is exercised. Each time he's exercised, he moves to the next stage. Each stage, you go up, you fall down, you get up, you go further, fall down, get up, go further. Each time you fall down, it's much easier to get up, and pretty soon, you don't fall down too much. You don't fall down. Just keep going. You run the race. Now, so here in Jeremiah chapter 15, God is going to say it again. Without any question, the judgment is unavoidable and inevitable. And Jeremiah is going to be, is going to seek, in the light of this ominous thing that's going to happen. And the reason it gets, it not only is he hearing and recording and rehearsing to the people to the measure he can of these words, but he's seeing it. He's not only broadcasting it, relating it, he's watching what's happening around him as it all deteriorates. And that makes it so much more difficult to live with, because it's his people, his family, his country. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, it's his. Wow. Chapter 15, verse 12. Shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? Remember we did that. Steel is bronze, very hard metal. And the northern iron up there, up in the Black Sea, on the coast of the Black Sea, just north of them, up where Nebuchadnezzar would be, up there, is the strongest iron, the best iron. So all the weapons that Babylon has are of that kind, that kind of iron. So that isn't cheap stuff, it's good. So their iron is stronger than anything Israel has. So in the process, can your cheap iron overcome the strong iron? The answer is no. Can Babylon conquer Israel? Absolutely. It's very strong. It's bronze, strong iron, bronze. Wow. Well, how are you going to go against that? You can't. Verse 13. Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. So I'm going to go in the process, and I'm going to go and I'm going to give your substance, your wealth, in other words, and your treasures. I'm going to give them all away to the Babylonians, and they aren't going to pay any price. It's all free, no cost. They just have to go and take it. They aren't going to pay anybody for it. They're going to walk out with whatever they want. Thy substance, thy wealth, thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. So you've been sinning. All your wealth and treasures are going to be given away. And by the way, all the borders, everything, all your land, wherever you want to go, all your sins, in all your borders, territory, your country, where do you want to go in Judah and Jerusalem that isn't corrupt? Where are you going to go that you're not going to find the deterioration of humanity's obligation to God? No, so you aren't going to go anywhere. So now, and so God to Jeremiah, and God is speaking to Jeremiah, but thus to Judah, thus to judgment. The judgment is irrevocable. Now, in the light of that, and I will make, verse 14, I will make thee to pass with thine enemies. I'm going to make thee to pass with my, the word pass means to go over a standing place, to step beyond. I'm going to make you to cause, it's causative. I'm going to make you go. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to cause you to pass over. I'm going to cause you to be using our word, transported. You're going to be transported out of this land. Verse 14. Pass, and I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land that thou knowest not. You don't know the land. You haven't been there. You're going to Babylon. And four, and the reason again, a fire is kindled in mine anger, and thou shalt burn and shall burn upon you. So God, you're going to judge the people of Jerusalem and Judah, that's right, and I'm going to cause them to be taken to another land that they don't know, and they're going to experience something we're to know to experience, and they're going to go, and that's because my fire is kindled, my anger is kindled against them, and it burns against them. So God, you are not happy with Israel, Jerusalem, Judah at all. Now, so nothing positive there for Jerusalem or Judah. Now, Jeremiah is going to step in, and in the process of that, he steps in, verse 15. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me. Now here's Jeremiah, remember, and Jeremiah is looking for help. He's looking to be encouraged. He's looking at it. He isn't happy. Things are very draining, demanding, taking out of his system. When you go through any kind of stress like that or whatever, it takes out of you. It takes a lot out of you. Wow. Now, like being, if you had a very difficult flu or something, and you had that, for a day or two or three. Come the third day, you're pretty much worn out. Well, whoever you are, you're just depleted. And now, just transfer that over to a mental draining, and you're drained, it's being taken out of you. And each time you finish rendering a judgment, and then you go and do it again. And you say, no, nothing's going to work. It isn't going to come out good. And you say it again. And each time it drops, it wears on you. And God just saying it over and over again so that they know. Now, Jeremiah is having to grow, to learn, to develop. That's the whole point. So Jeremiah is going to seek help, and he's going to seek to be encouraged, and he's looking for God. He's looking for God to help him. So now, when we come, so here we are in our little, each one of us in our situation, in our little home, work, home, school, play, all of that, and then all of us together in the same country, same state, basically. Same state and country, and here we are now, and in the same world. So God, here we are, and we're having to face it day in and day out, and even more so in the days ahead. So now, verse 15, I want to learn from Jeremiah, because Jeremiah, God, why would you even put it in? Because I want you to get educated. And Jeremiah is a wonderful person to educate us. So therefore, here we are looking, and verse 15, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me. So A, he knows that God knows him. That's what he's saying right up front. God, you know me. Thou knowest, God, there's no question about that. Now, so I'd like to just, I can read that, thou knowest, and say, God, Jeremiah says to God directly, thou knowest, God knows. Now we can go right on. Now what did you get? You know that Jeremiah knew God knows him. Now we want to capitalize on that. Why did you even bother putting it in, God? So we can learn. We step into the heart, the mind of Jeremiah. And we have great advantage because we're on this end. Jeremiah's way back here. We're up here on the other side of the cross. So now, we'll try to educate ourselves in the light of all these little things. Thou, Lord, thou knowest. Okay, God. The word to know is to go and to have experience, to understand, to use your senses, eyes, ears, nose, taste, touch, senses, sight, and then you sense something, perceive something, understand something, experience it. You experience it by your senses. When you eat food, you experience the taste. You experience it. That's the word. Now, Lord, thou knowest. You are knowing. God is knowing. And Jeremiah acknowledges that quite freely. And he isn't trying to go. And he's submitting himself. He isn't trying to justify anything. He's just trying to submit to God's judgment. But he needs to get a handle on it. Over to chapter 1, if you would, of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, picking up if I can, verse 2, we'll pick up a little word. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah the son of Amos, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Now, here comes, here's Jeremiah, now it's his time sequence, sliding down to verse 5. I'll read verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and set thee apart, and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. Do you see the word know, K-new, K-N-E-W? I knew. There it is. Lord, thou knowest me. God said at the very beginning, I knew you before you were even an egg and a seed. I knew you when at 2, 4, 6, 8 cells. I knew you. I knew you. I formed you. Wow. So God, you know all about us before we're born. Uh-huh, I do. Before our parents were born, you know all about us. That's correct. Before your great-grandparents were born, that's correct. I know all about you. That's number one. Now, and notice, please, and in verse 6, then said I, Jeremiah's response, Our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. Why? For I am a child. Do you see the word cannot? Not to know is the verb, even though it's translated cannot. Not to know. I'm not knowing how to speak. I cannot. I'm not knowing how to speak. I cannot speak. So, God, you know me. I know, said Jeremiah. I'm not able to do this assignment. I'm just a child, as it were. Now, picking up, if you would, chapter 11, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is all the way down the line. He has been educated, exercised. And here in Jeremiah chapter 11, picking up, if I may, in verse 18. Remember, Jeremiah was told by God that his family in Anathoth and the priest and the people are out to kill him. Now, Jeremiah isn't standing in the village. He's told before he goes to the village, they're trying to kill you. Right now they're plotting to kill you. And, verse 18, and the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it, then thou showest me their doings. So Jeremiah was put in ahead of the game. God knows, Lord, thou knowest, thou knowest, you know, before I was ever born, and you clued me in on what's ahead of me and what I'm going to find when I go to my family. We're going to find they aren't out to love me. They're out to kill me. Now, over to chapter 12. Chapter 12. And if I may, picking up again, remember now, Jeremiah is getting weary and wishing he could have this thing resolved, but it keeps going, and next year, and he has to keep hanging in there, and he's getting all worn out. So therefore, if I can, in chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 4, how long shall the land mourn? Now I'm going to stop there just to get, because Jeremiah is wondering, how long? How long? Now go back up to chapter 12, verse 3. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. You know me. You do. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Let's get the battle over with. And remember, God says down in verse 5, if you're tired of just running and trying to keep up with what's happening, you better cheer up, because you're going to go from running with people to running with horses. And horses are very fast. It's not going to get easier, not going to slow down. You're going to run. And God, you know. And so God's going to help him to understand that couldn't we just have a little break? Couldn't we just... isn't that enough? No. If you want to go through the process, you don't want to go to kindergarten. You want to go and finish something. I don't know where to finish these days in school. I don't know what year you'd have to finish to get through school. Though you probably put you through without going to think about it. You just go to school and you get through without working at it. Wow. Anyway, so God, verse 3, O Lord, thou knowest me. Thou knowest, no question. Now, think of that. You know God, you know me. And move ahead, way ahead, to chapter 33. And in chapter 33, picking up, Jeremiah's in prison. And God, and Jeremiah said, thou knowest. Now, you know that God knows all about you and me. And whether you're saved or not, what doesn't God know about you? About you, everyone down the street, looking New York City. Who is there that God doesn't know from start to finish? He knows all about him. God knows all about you and me. God knows. Jeremiah, do you understand that? I want to understand that. Where's my encouragement going to come from? I'm going to submit to God's wonderful working. But I need to know what? I need to know that he knows. He really knows. Now, hang on to that. Here's Jeremiah, and God gives him encouragement again. I'm going to go directly to chapter 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You don't know, but I know. I know them. You don't know them. I know them. So, God, are you going to do that for Jeremiah? I am. I'm going to do wonderful things. But you don't know them. But Jeremiah, you're smart enough to say, Lord, you know me. You know everything. That's where we start. God, you know everything about me. Saved or unsaved, you know all about me. So God, if I'm going to ever get some help from anybody, it's going to have to come from you, because you know. You absolutely know without any ifs, ands, or buts. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would, to Job. The book of Job, and chapter 23. And Job, remember we shared last time, Job was one of those people that God has recorded of the went through the school of hard knocks to get educated, and rightly educated. And that's what you want to have, a good, healthy education. And so here, Job again, looking at Job, in the school of hard knocks, etc. Chapter 23, Job. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning." Now, sliding down, if I can, to verse 3. "Oh, that I knew, where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." God, in the midst of the everything going on, I need to find you. I can't get a handle on you correctly. I'm not looking at you as I ought to. I'm not trusting you as I ought to. And God, if I just knew. Now, God, you know. I do. Job, do you know that God knows? Absolutely. But in the exercise of learning and developing, you think God doesn't know, God doesn't care, etc. So now, chapter 23, just going a little further. As you know, chapter 3, may I pick up, please, in verse 7. "There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him." I need God. I just need light. I need help. "On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him." God, if you would just make everything so simple and clear, that would be so easy. But that isn't how it's going to work, because you're going to have to trust me with all your heart. You aren't going to do that if I just said, "Here I am." You won't do that. We won't do that. No, we have to get educated, because you are different. You are holy, wonderfully, wonderfully holy. And of all the wonderful attributes and characteristics, God, you are holy. And holiness belongs to God and him alone. And of all the things that God asks, he doesn't ask you to be more powerful. He doesn't ask you to be something. What, God, you are holy, and you absolutely will let nothing in that isn't holy. What is the one thing you say to all humans? "I'm summoning you to be holy as I am holy. And I've made it possible for that to happen. You cannot do any business with me unless you're holy." In fact, that's why you have your Bible, don't you? What does it say in the cover of your Bible? Holy Bible. Right? Because the words are holy. God is holy. It's the only book in the world that says holy. The Quran, the two Arabic words for holiness, are never found in the Quran. They're never found in there. Never found. Nope. Only God's word is holy. And he is holy. And that's what's missing. You don't understand. He's holy. And you have to understand that. So God, you have to teach us. Right. So here's Job 23. I'll read verse 9 to pick up again. "On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he," there's your little word, verb, "he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. My way have I kept and not declined." God, Moses, here's Job, I should say. And here's Job going down the corridor of time. And Job, it's hard, isn't it? Isn't it hard? If God would just do 1, 2, 3, 4, and I got it all, everything's in order. No, it doesn't work that way. No more than you could just use your schooling. If we go to the first grade, it's enough just to have numbers and alphabet and other things and words. You wouldn't insert trigonometry. You wouldn't insert geometry. You wouldn't insert nuclear physics, geology. Would you fit those in? It's silly to put it in. The little kid can't even, he's trying to get A, B, C. Why are we different spiritually? You have to get A, B, C. I want to have all of this. You can't have all of it. You got to work your way up. Nothing wrong with that. Otherwise, you'd have all the homework and you couldn't do it. You couldn't do the homework, but that's required. You aren't able to do it. And God knows that. Isn't that good? Yes, it is. What's good? God knows you can't do stuff. God knows you aren't ready. But you do need to trust God from where you're at to get where you're going. And that's what you do. And each one of us has a little different background and everything. And we have to work with where we are. And so here's Jeremiah. God, you know the way that I take. And when you have tried me, I'll come forth as gold. Wow, that's a wonderful thing. So God, I got to go through the thing. Yes, I do. In fact, it's such a wonderful thing. I'll read it very quickly even. No waste of time on this one. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. No, I'm hanging in there. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that God he doeth. God does what he does. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, personal, or God, there whatever requirements to get them to learn, to grow, to be educated, etc. And many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence when I consider I am afraid of him. And my heart is soft. As if I'm going to let God do something, I'm going to be humbled and I'm going to learn. And the more I relax, the quicker I will learn. I understand. I don't have to understand. We shared it before. You have to believe every word in God's Bible. Understanding it is something else. Believing it, God gave it. He said he did. So you have to believe. Then when you believe, you can begin to understand. If you're going to read the Bible without believing it, you won't understand it. Now, so God, here we are looking, and in the process, God, you have to put us through, and you know, Romans 8. No, before you do that, thank you for that. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. God, David's going to help us get there. Putting it together simply for us. Psalm 139, David, you're going to tell us? I am. Verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. That's right. God knows. Jeremiah says, Lord, you know me. And you know everything. And since you know everything, I'm trying to get some help then. Since you know it, God. And verse 2. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. And there's the word know again. No, God, you know. You know. You have the reality of the whole thing. You know. That's right. I do. Wow. Over, if you would, in Psalm 139, picking up in verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. I haven't even opened my mouth yet. And you know what I'm going to say. God already knows what you're going to say tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. He knows what you're going to say. Lord, you know. What does that make me? It's making me a healthy, holy, happy person, because I'm thanking God someone knows. I don't know. God knows. Now, in the light of that, and sliding down if I can, Sliding down, David. David, are you going to get encouraged? I am. In the light, remember verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from my presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or Hades, behold, thou art there. God, there's nowhere to go, anywhere, up, down, bottom, high, fly away in a spaceship, doesn't make any difference. There's nowhere I'm going to go that you aren't. And you know. Verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth. What are you knowing, David? I'm knowing right well that God knows. And God, you know, and I know that you know. And since I know that you know, I'm trusting what you know and what you know and how you do things. And I know I can do that. I know I can trust you. That's what I know about you. Now, having said that, now, Romans chapter 8. Here we are, God, in the light of all of this. And in Romans chapter 8, picking up, please, in thought. In chapter 8, go with me, to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, remember the Spirit of God, also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, etc., our failing, our shortcomings. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So, A, here we are, way down past Jeremiah's way back here. We're way up here with all the advantages. And we're looking, and God, what do we know? We know not what we should pray for as we ought. Why? Because you know, God. You know. That's what you know. And so, God, we're looking for you to outwork your good plan, purpose, big picture, like we shared last time. Outwork the big picture. And here we are, little blades of grass in the big picture. And God, here's our little world right here, in the big picture. God, as you do the big picture, work out the little picture. That's where I am, right in the little picture. So God, work it out. And God, I don't know how to work out all these pieces around me. But you do. You do. Uh-huh. And I don't know how to pray. I would say, pray for this, pray for that. And you can say, pray that they'll get better, but they shouldn't get better. Pray that they should live, and that no, they have to die. You say, we're praying. What are we praying? You say, God, this. Say, God, I don't know. I don't know how to put the pieces together. You do. That's right. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, for the believers, according to the will of God. So the Spirit of God is looking to support us. So when we say now in our little heart, if you're saved, Lord, thou knowest, and the Spirit of God knows, the Spirit of God communicating perfectly with God the Father and God the Son knows, everyone knows, all of you know God, all of you are, all that you are God, know. You know. That's what you know. So you know what? All about me. All about you. We don't know what to pray for. God does. So you couldn't get more moved, if you can get that. Wonderful. Personal. Wow. Now, and, verse 28. And we know, what do we know? Just like David. David knows I am fearfully and wonderfully made. and I can't get out of it. And God, you know everything. That's wonderful. So what are we, Paul, Spirit of God, what are you trying to tell us? Well, I want you to know that I know. I know. I know all about it. And I know everything personally in your life of what has to be. I already know 10 minutes from now. I already know. So as you learn to know me, come to know me as your Savior, And as you trust me, I'm going to work out all that. I'm going to work out what I know, not what I don't know. What I do know, and I know everything. So you're going to work out everything in the light of your knowledge. That's correct. So I haven't even got an hour from now, but God, you're already there. Wow. And in the process then, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So God, you're going to do your most wonderful thing. I am, I am, I am, I am. And in the light of that, over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And in chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, Paul's on his deathbed. It's time for him to die. After he finishes this, he's going to die. And this is his last letter. And he could have died all kinds of ways, when he was in the ocean, shipwreck, when he was stoned. You would think the stone should have killed them, but they didn't kill him. The poison didn't kill him. Didn't kill him. No, not until God's time. And so here, Paul, it's your time. That's right. And Paul, have you been educated? Have I been educated? He said. Now, in the light of that, chapter 1, picking up, if I may, Paul says these wonderful words. I want you to know, I'm going to read a little since the time. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God hath not given you, I'm going to use you, the spirit of fear. The word fear is cowardness. Cowardness, where you back away and you back off from things you don't like, things you don't understand, things you don't want, and you back off and back away. Cowardness, cowardness. We want to face the realities about us. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but on the contrary, power, ability, and of love, and of a sound mind. God has done this so that we can have a mind. Not your IQ and that. No, God, we have your word, and you have your word which is holy, and we have your word, and so we're looking to you, God, to what? We know that you know, based on your word, what you do, and therefore, God, we're going to have a mind. Where's our mind resting? Thou, you know what? You know, put it together. Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, thought process is what? Resting down on him. Now, God, what do you want? I want you to rest in me. That's what I want you to do. I don't want you to fight me. I don't want to have a debate with you. I don't want to have dialogue with you. I want you just to rest and trust me. That's all I want you to do, and learn to do that. Believe me and learn of me. Get your learning from me, Matthew 11:29. So here we are going, and God, you're going to give us what? A sound mind. You want a sound mind. What is it going to be in your heart? All you know, all these things. The heart is what about you? No offense to you, no offense, because that's what you really are. Your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. So there's no sense. What are you going to do? And that's you and you and you, and that's me. So there's no way out of it. You say, I'm no, sir, I've got 5 degrees from Podunk University, etc. I don't care if you got 15 degrees. There were people, I knew them when I was up there at State Hospital, not as a patient, but up there, when I was up there. And in the process, they were professors from Wesleyan up there. And they're wonderful professors. And in fact, the Wesleyan sent the test, all the paperwork from the classes, and the professor would send it to him, or one of those people up there, and they would correct it and give it back to the teacher to give out to the students. Because why should the teacher have to bother correcting papers when the fellow up there has nothing to do? He'll correct the papers. And that's what he did. Wonderful. Now, would you want to be up there? You say he's smart. I don't care how smart he is. He's dumb. If you don't know, sanity, insane, the difference. You understand the difference. Being sane is one thing. Insanity is another. And when you come to insanity, it means that you're not locked on. God, say it easier to without even getting through into it. God is the only sane person in forever. God is. Now everything has to be weighed as he's the standard of what insanity is. To the degree that we enjoy a sound mind, we enjoy his sanity. And that's what you want to do. When your mind and forget things and get all over, there's no problem with that. Be looking to God so that you keep a sound mind. A sound mind. A sound mind. It isn't my mind, it's your mind, God. Let this mind be where? In you. So God, we're looking, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to trust your thinking, your thoughts, and thus, verse 12, I got to move. For which cause I also suffer, power, the sound mind. Verse 12, for which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. No, Paul, are you embarrassed that you're trusting God? I'm not at all. I know, there's your word, I know whom I have believed. I know the one that knows. I'm trusting the one that knows. And since I'm trusting the one that knows, I'm okay. My mind's resting down. God will keep it in perfect peace because it isn't up to me. God knows, and I'm going to be responsible, use my good God-given common sense. I'm going to do everything I should do that I understand, but I'm going to be trusting you, God. That's the foundation on which we work. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded, I am perfectly, wonderfully persuaded, assured that he is able, that he has the power to guard that which I have committed, think of depositing in the bank, which I have deposited to him against that day. God, here I am. Here's my own little heart. Here's my soul. Here I am, God. Here's my situation. Here's my situation, God. Here's my society. I'm in the middle of it. My situation, society, my soul, and God, you have to make me be everything I need to be. Help me to get there, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. Help me to go through the process to understand. Thank you for your patience long before being angry. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And now I'm going to go. Now, and we have to quit. But if you took time, and we didn't have it, to go to the next thing, next three things in Jeremiah, he's going to go and command God, positive, negative commands. He's going to say, God, I am requesting, I am desiring you very much to encourage me, help me. He's demanding in a wonderful way, God, I request, I desire your help. And it's a command. I want you to help me. Do you care? Uh-huh. You do. You do care. Absolutely. God, then that's what I got. Thank you for knowing. And God, here I am, going to travel down the corridor of time in the process. And God, are you going to remember everything? Are you going to forget anything? Not going to forget anything. I'm going to care. I'm going to work it all out. That's what you want, isn't it? That's what I want. That's what I request. I desire that of you, to do that in my life. Wow. So God, what are we doing? Well, here we are. And God, what are we going to do? Well, God, you know all about me, all about us. So God, that's our starting point. That's our starting point to get with it. So God, I don't have to, I'm not going to tell you anything that you don't know. You already know more than a zillion years from now that I could ever know. So God, thank you very much for knowing. Work, home, school, play, easy, much, little, coming, going, country, all the rest of it, problems, national, Israel, God, everywhere. But God, here you are. So God, we're looking to you to outwork your goodwill. That's all we want, God. So you may have a particular request as we go. Keeping that in mind, if you would, Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest.